meets God, who is an African-American woman, Jesus, who is a Jewish man, and the Holy Spirit, who is an Asian woman. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
New Agers want to be able to create religions that will make them feel good.
It's Jefferson and Madison and Franklin talking from the grave through me.
If you're a religious person, you understand that once religion takes hold in a society, it can't be stopped.
I've often said that the best preachers, the most successful preachers, are the hymn writers of the church. I mean, think about it. A good hymn that has staying power, that is truly Christ-centered and cross-focused, that Christians sang long ago and continue to sing today. Some abandon them, sad to say, and thereby often abandon their Christ-centered, cross-focused message. But for those hymns that stay and continue to be sung, there are sermons in those songs. And the message that the hymn writer preaches, if you will, through his hymn, is preached not just to one people at one time, but in many cases, to many people in many times throughout history. Some of the greatest preachers we've had have been our hymn writers. We're going to talk about one of them all the way back to the 12th century. The church remembers, or most of the church remembers him today. We will for the first 10 minutes of Issues, etc. Bernard of Clairvaux. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. For the next hour, we'll be talking with Dr. Martin Nolan to begin with about Bernard of Clairvaux, and then we'll spend the better part of this hour of Issues, etc. with Dr. Jay Budziszewski, professor of government and philosophy at the University of Texas and author of the books How to Stay Christian in College, Ask Me Anything, 1 and 2. We'll talk about Christianity in College with Dr. Budziszewski. Our call-in number on this Tuesday, August the 19th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Martin Nolan is our guest. He's a regular guest here on Issues, etc., although I think this is his first time with us since we've returned to the airwaves. He's past director of the Concordia Historical Institute, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, my security blanket. Dr. Martin Nolan, thank you very much for being our guest and welcome.
It's good to be back. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. You know, a lot of people don't know the name Bernard of Clairvaux. A lot of Christians don't. But what of Bernard of Clairvaux's legacy would Christians perhaps know today?
Well, our Lutherans and many other Christians would know two of his hymns very well, as you mentioned at the beginning. One of them is a Lenten hymn, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. That's in Lutheran Service Book number 450. And the other one is O Jesus King Most Wonderful, Lutheran Service Book 554. The tunes, of course, are more recent, but the poetry, the text, is from Bernard of Clairvaux, and it expresses his piety and approach to theology and the church.
Tell us about the man himself and about the fact that he was not only a very successful hymn writer, but also no mean theologian.
He was probably the foremost church person of his day, even surpassing and influenced the Pope. As you said, he's from the 12th century, and he is, although not the founder of the Cistercian order, it was founded when he was about the age of 7, but he entered at the age of 21, and shortly thereafter really became its leader. And this was in France, in the area we know of Burgundy, and the Cistercians were a reforming order. The Benedictines, which were the monks at the time, had kind of lost sight of what the monastic order was all about. And the Cistercians, and especially with Bernard at the head, really led them back to what they were all about, at least as he interpreted it. And so, starting from just a couple of monasteries, the Cistercians, by his mature career, this would be about 1150 or so, there were 90 monasteries at the height of his influence. And not only was there a number of, this is like 800 monks, But Bernard was of great influence on both Pope and King. He was probably the most influential person in the election of Pope Innocent II in 1130 and the election of Pope Eugene III in 1145. People in St. Louis would know Bernard because there is a very famous statue of this guy called St. Louis that's in front of the Art Museum in Forest Park. And St. Louis was the king, King Louis VII, and it was Bernard of Clairvaux in 1146 who had a sermon at the place where the relics of Mary Magdalene are supposedly interred, that there was an audience of the king and the noblemen, and Bernard of Clairvaux said, "We need to recover the remains of the apostles in the Holy Land," and convinced Louis VII and others to go on the Second Crusade. And that's probably his most, the biggest dent that he made in history.
What was Christianity like in the 12th and 13th centuries?
Well, it is not the Dark Ages. That if you want to talk about the Dark Ages, you have to talk about the time after Charlemagne. We'd say about in the 900s or the this is the 12th century. It's the time of the building of the cathedrals. There's a lot of economic activity. This is after the time of the Cluny Reform, and so the church is very powerful and growing in strength in political influence. And so what people like Bernard, who was really one of the things that we have to say about Bernard and his order, was that they had refrained from political activity, whereas the rest of the monks had not. But this was one of the things that they had tried to do, was to separate themselves from the world, and thereby strengthening the piety of the church. And we can't diminish that. That was authentic. And maybe those that followed were not so much. Christianity was the church. It was the culture. It was really the leading politics. I mean, if the king of Germany and France are going to take all their armies and try to wipe out the Muslims in the Holy Land because one monk tells them to, it is a very pious age, and that's what this was.
The you said before that this was the time when monasteries were being built everywhere, and there was an explosion of monastic life, both for men and women, holy orders, as they would be called by the Western Church. Just by the time we get to the time of the Reformation, we're talking about institutions that span all of Christendom and that have amazing power and influence and money at their disposal. Why did monasticism explode like this?
There's a number of reasons for that. One thing is that prior to monastic, this recovery of monasticism and its influence, which happened again in the 11th and 12th century, there really weren't any other centers of culture and learning. And so what happened was that the kings and the noblemen found out that if they employed churchmen or monks or people that had some learning in their employ, that they got better results, whatever they were doing, whether it was taxation or administration, anything except for just carrying on war. And so as this happened, the church and its leaders gained a lot more power. And then as the economic activity improved because of what we would say more scientific approaches to economics and farming and stuff. And Bernard, in his order, by the way, was influential for the improvement of agricultural and its whole business in many ways. That, because it contributed to that, then it reaped the benefits. And so this is just a period of growth in monastic piety and wealth and all sorts of things, all the way up until the Reformation, and then, of course, in the Reformation, it takes a hit quite significantly.
So, are we watching here the first foundation stones being laid, not only in the Reform movements that were represented by monasticism in some cases, but even the institution of monasticism itself that Luther would pick as one of his major targets, given the fact that it has had a wrong view of the Christian life and of the life of the church. Are we seeing those foundations laid here about 1 minute before our break?
Yes. What Luther would criticize in the Cistercians was their severe asceticism. That is, they would a very poor diet, would not be clothed very well. It's mortification of the body and the idea that that would lead you closer to God. And Luther, in his early days, was just like this. So these were one of the things among the Cistercians that he would disagree with. On the other hand, we also have to recognize that they were a reform order, and their desire was to get back to the order of Saint Benedict. And that concept of reform did influence Luther's order, the branch of the Reformed Augustinians. They were trying to get back to the original rule of Saint Augustine. And then he takes those ideas and heads in the direction of, let's reform the church on the basis of the New Testament. So we can actually see some positive things that came out from Bernard of Clairvaux.
Dr. Martin Nolan is past director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, the kids are headed off to school. My kids had their first day of school. Of course, both of them are a few years out from college. My daughter's a little closer. It's scaring me to death. But we're going to talk about the kids going off to college and the things that they will face, the challenges that will be theirs when they walk into the classroom or into the dorm room, or any place else when they go off to school. Dr. Jay Bujaszewski will be our guest.